Well, good evening. Good to have you back. Welcome, welcome. This is our third installment in, what are we calling this, technology tips or tools or something like that. Anyway, we're given some pointers and some ideas for Logos Bible software, for Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, different things. If you're going to study the Word, if you're going to be a teacher, different things to help organize your notes, put your ideas together, and a little shortcuts, things that I've learned the hard way. So if I can speed it up for you guys, and you can learn from my mistakes, and you can be way ahead of me in different ways. Let me open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll return to where we left it off last week. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for tonight and the blessing we have. You've blessed us already to study your word and to study about your word, and now, Father, we're studying just. These are earthly skills and little practical things that will help us to be better communicators of your truth. And that's what we're about, Father. We're not trying to show off technology for the gee whiz value, but, Father, we want to be servants, and we want to be effective in what we communicate. So if PowerPoint is effective, we'll use it. If it's a distraction and a waste of time, we don't get rid of it, Father. Just open our eyes to that which is pleasing in your sight, and I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Yeah, it's kind of fun when I'm not in the pulpit, when I'm back there in the back row and I'm listening to Lewis or Dan or Bob or somebody, and then I get to pull my software up and I get to chase rabbit trails, I get to watch certain things. As, for example, we were just in 1 Peter 1:20. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. And this is a fairly new feature, and I'm not sure if it's actually been made available to everybody yet, or if it's still limited to what's called a Logos Now subscription. I subscribe to Logos Now, which means I get some of the beta utilities that will be released basically in Logos 7, but I get the features early, and I get to start using them early. And so one of the features is the ability to split a window. And so I've got this window here, and open up multiple resources within the same window. And so I'm able to open up the New American Standard Bible along with a Nestle 28 Greek New Testament, along with a BHS Hebrew Old Testament, and a Septuagint, again, in the Old Testament. So the software is smart enough to realize, you know, you're in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're not going to bother with the Hebrew Bible, because 1 Peter is not in the Hebrew Bible. We're not going to bother with 1 Peter, I mean with the Septuagint, because again, that's Old Testament. But if we have an Old Testament verse that we want to go to, so for example, if we're going to look at Isaiah 53, then it's going to make the adjustments accordingly. It's going to give you the New American Standard. It's going to give you the Hebrew, the BHS Hebrew text, as well as the Septuagint text. And it breaks it into the three columns. Again, if I go back to 1 Peter 1:20 drops back to two columns again, all right? Because the only ones that can basically open at that point are the New American Standard and the Nestle text, the Greek text. If I wanted to, I could apply other Greek texts as well. I could have the Nestle text. I could have the Majority text. I could have two comparative Greek texts side by side. I just don't typically do that when I'm in Bible class listening to folks. Other things, I went ahead and opened up a PowerPoint slideshow, and was there something last week I didn't get to, and I promised to get to it this week? You've been waiting for 7 days with bated breath. You've been on the edge of your seat thinking, I can't wait to get back to, I forgot what it was. So if there was, you just have to remind me between now and the end of this hour. Remember, much of what we do with Microsoft Word centers on outlines, all right? And so it's important, if you're going to have a study, stringed instruments, all right? Because I play the guitar, I like the guitar, whatever. I want to do a study on stringed instruments. And I find there aren't any stringed instruments. There aren't any guitars in the Bible, but there's lyres and there's other instruments. So anyway, it's important when you're using Microsoft Word to use headings when you can. particularly if this is a study that's going to become a Logos book. That's really going to help you when you make a Logos book. And I can show that to you as well. So I'm going to come up here. I'm going to make this a title. All right, and that's going to be on your toolbar. Title or a heading or a heading one or a heading two, a title or a subtitle, things like that. I'm going to leave it as a title. Titles are useful. And then I can go with Old Testament stringed instruments, New Testament stringed instruments, things like that. Come back up here, and again, I want to use headings. So make that a heading one. Come here, make this a heading one. Okay? Things like that. If you don't use headings, I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, it's not a law that you have to. But it's good if you do, because these are the things that Logos will read when it takes this document and it puts it into a book. And it makes a Logos book out of it. It's going to look at those headings. And so I've done this, for example, with the personal books that I've made so far in Isaiah. Let me just make this a pop-out window here. Wow, that's big. Doesn't have to be that big. Why is it that big? I don't know. All right. So there's Isaiah, Yeshayahu in the Hebrew, Salvation of Yahweh. Have a title, have a subheading, a subtitle. And then chapter 1. And you'll notice it's indexed that way as chapter 1 because I used a heading. All right? And so Logos is going to read those headings. And this becomes important, too, because in your table of contents, the Isaiah series is kind of simple. You just make a heading for every chapter. And then they're going to show up there in your table of contents. And then you can just click your way through. And if you want to, you know, real quickly get to Isaiah 14, you can go to Isaiah 14. And so that helps. And if you put those headings in your Word document, then you save yourself some time later when you're prepping your Word document to become a personal book. All right. Someday you're going to want your First Peter notes to be a personal book. So they'll be available for you in later studies. I like having my Isaiah notes as a personal book so that they're available to me in other studies. See. So anyway, that's an idea there for why you want to use headers. And if you use header 1, header 2, heading 3, they become nested within your table of contents. That becomes useful as well. So if I open up another one here, like Life of Christ, and that gets kind of big. Let's do that. So here's my Life of Christ notebook. And you'll notice I've got a table of contents, and those are all based upon heading 1 in the Word document. But then, so like Introduction to Jesus, that's heading 1. But then there's subheadings underneath that. Luke's introduction, pre-incarnate work of Christ, genealogy of Jesus. Okay? If I'm going to the Galilean ministry, for example, that's heading 1. And then nested within that are these subheadings, which are all listed as heading 2 in the Word document. So the healing of the nobleman's son, rejected at Nazareth, moved to Capernaum. We can work our way through the table of contents based upon the headings in the Word documents. All right? Now, stringed instruments. All right. This is kind of cool. Where do I start? How do I find stringed instruments in the Bible? Well, a couple of different ways, and having advantage of Logos Bible software is going to be helpful. In some cases, it's best to just go to your homepage. And even before you open a book, maybe you don't know what books you even have in your library. Maybe you don't know a whole lot of things. You've never studied stringed instruments before. You never studied. Maybe there's another topic that came up this morning in Isaiah, or came up this morning in Jeremiah, and you want to learn more about preaching to mountains or preaching to the north or different things like that. So the home page is kind of useful. You can put your prayer lists on there. I've got family prayers. I've got church bulletin prayers. I've got my daily scripture reading where I've fallen behind because of the Schaefer conference. I didn't do my reading last week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I have to get caught up there. Got some other articles there on the right. But come up here. Enter a passage or a topic. And we want to look up stringed instruments. And all I do, I'm typing stringed inst. And you'll notice, comes up right there, stringed instrument. Now let's select that and see what it does for me. It's just a shortcut to all kinds of Bible studies. It's a shortcut to different topics. It's a shortcut to different devotions. You could do this in a home study. You could do this in a Sunday school. All right? It's still thinking. It's hunting. This would be really embarrassing if I crash Logos in the process of doing this. Doesn't normally take that long. There we go. All right. If that seemed too long, then you're too impatient. because understand what it just did. It just searched through your entire library and found the topic of stringed instruments. All right. And it created a list for you. Your little study research assistant is sitting here at the side of your chair, and it's got a big stack of books ready to go. All right. Just imagine a little house elf sitting on your right. And it's already read all your books in your library and has found those books that have articles on stringed instruments. Okay? And even more than that, it suspects that you may want to go beyond stringed instruments to trumpets and other kinds of instruments. Okay? And so it's already ready to go in that. So you'll notice we got this topic ready now on stringed instruments, but it can also expand if you want to go to a larger study. It's also, put your Bible here in the top corner. It's opened up some of your encyclopedias. In fact, three of them right there. Gotten those ready to go. And so your assistant has found the three encyclopedias you use most often and laid it out there on your desk. Opened up the page already. Ready to go for music and musical instruments. So, there's the Baker Encyclopedia, stringed instruments. It says, see, musical instruments. Then your Encyclopedia Britannica. Hey, it's got a guitar article. All right. So you can read through these articles, learn a lot, learn about the cathros, learn about the kinnor, learn about the nebel. All right. And so you can expect that you're probably going to do a lot of cut and paste. You're going to do a lot of selections here. And you're going to come over here to your Word document. And you're going to start listing those there. Okay? You may want to create a separate outline. For example, remember we did these outlines. Let's go ahead and do... we don't want to do that one. Which one do we want to do? We want to do that one. Remember we made these a couple weeks ago? So let's do that one. Okay? And so... we're going to use this Tyndale Dictionary here. I like it on the left. It gives me more space to read over there. Okay. And so, man, there's a lot of these. Okay. So there's the Asor, the Cathros, the Kinnor. And I'm just going to start listing these here, right? Asor, Kinnor. Did I miss one? I missed the Cathros. That's okay. So come up here and hit enter, do Cathros. And you see what it did? It renumbered them for me. This is all the outlining that we did a couple weeks ago. And you're saving yourself a lot of time in that. The Kinnor, the Nebel, the Pesantrion. I'm not going to do all this, but you got the idea there, right? So ideas for taking what you're reading and making them useful for what you're teaching. And you may do an awful lot of this and then get overwhelmed and say, is that really necessary? Okay? Nevertheless, even if you don't end up with an outline that you ever teach to anybody under the sun, you've done the work. You've learned a lot. You've got an outline that maybe you use it, maybe you won't. File it away. Save it. Tuck it in the back of a Bible or save the Word document in a folder somewhere and just remember that you did that study once upon a time. You can always come back to it. You can always open it again. You can always do other things with it. Or you may just decide, you know what? I really like that Tyndale article. And you can save yourself some time that way, all right? I misspelled Tyndale. Tyndale Bible Dictionary. So let me show you how to do this. You've got your Tyndale Bible Dictionary. And you go, this is great. I want to read a big part of this. I want to share this with people on a Sunday night. I don't want to retype it all because it's already there. Okay? But so I'm just going to make a note. Now there is a great Tyndale article on musical instruments. And I want to put a link to it. All right? And we can do that. In your software, you come here to the article, musical instruments, all right? And you'll learn the keyboard shortcuts eventually. But here in your control window, if you don't already know about that little box right there, shame on you. There's a lot of stuff in that little box right there. And one of the things you can do is you can copy that location. You can copy that location as a URL. That's what you want to do to make your link. All right? The keyboard shortcut, by the way, is Control-Alt-C. And you'll get to where you probably do the keyboard shortcuts faster than you can do anything else. All right? So we're going to copy location as a URL. Now that we've copied it, it's on the Windows keyboard. Okay? Come back here. And let's select this text. Great Tyndale article on musical instruments. Where do you want to put the link? On musical instruments? Or Tyndale article? Up to you. There's no right or wrong answer here. Whatever you want to do. Okay? Now, there's a keyboard way to do this. There's a toolbar way to do this. Up here, if you want to insert a hyperlink, you can do it there. Okay? If you don't want to use your toolbar, if you're great with keyboards and you just want to select your text, then you do a Control-K. It takes you to the same place. Okay? And then here for the address, do a Control-V. That's pasting the shortcut that you copied earlier. Logos Res. And that's all code. That's not going to mean anything to you. It's a Logos URL code. Logos Resource. Tyndale Bible Dictionary, Head Word, Musical Instruments. All right? And you click OK, and there it is. And now it is a hyperlink. Okay? And so you can have that in your Word document. The neat thing is when you turn that Word document into a Logos personal book, the links will carry across. You'll have the hyperlinks in your Logos personal book if you have the hyperlinks in your Word document. Okay? You can also do hyperlinks in PowerPoint and different things there. So so now, let's see, let's do this too. I'm just going to copy that, come over here to PowerPoint, and make that a blank slide. And now I want to make a, here we go, here's a text box. We didn't do a whole lot with PowerPoint last week, but we can just do that. All right. And you'll notice there's the link there, okay? It just copies it across. You've taken it from Word, you put it in a PowerPoint. Let me make this a little bit larger for you. And the point being, there we go. We don't want to go below 36 for a heading, 28 for a subpoint, 32 or 28. Is that readable? All right. Again, we're trying to make it readable for people on the back row, those back row commandos. Okay. And this, by the way, is not the slide view. This is where we're creating a slide view. If you want to get the slide view, you can start your slideshow from here. Like that, okay? Also, by the way, this is a high def projector, so don't use the standard slides. You should design your layout and with your page setup instead of an on-screen slow 4:3, go to on-screen show 16:9. There you go. Now we're talking. And now you've got a widescreen. All right? And so now you see what your slideshow does? All right? That's just better than the 4:3 resolution, the standard resolution there. Also gives you more space on each of these slides right here to work with, I think. There we go. So, copying links, copying locations, pasting them. It's helpful having them there because I'll show you again. And I'm going to prove this to you by closing all my windows. Do you remember the command, close all? And before I do that, let me save this as a workspace. We're going to save this as a PMW musical instruments workspace. All right. Now I'm going to close all. Empties out my desktop. Okay? And if you want to reload that, you just reload your saved workspace, PMW musical instruments, and it opens them back up for you again. Okay? I do so many close alls a lot of times, I put a close all button on my toolbar. And so I can just click that and it dumps it and I'm getting a fresh start. Okay, so nothing's open in Logos. If I'm doing my slideshow and I'm teaching on musical instruments in the Old Testament, and I talk about the asor and the kathros and the kinnor, and then I say, all right, that's enough for now. I've bored you to tears. If you want more to read on this, I recommend this great article from Tyndale. And then you click on it, and it launches your Bible software, and it opens it up to that page, to that place that you had copied the location. If you want to make it larger, make it larger, and then read down through there. So, how do you bookmark a location, or how do you create a hyperlink for that location? Remember, it's in this control panel right there. Yep, and it's down here to copy location as, and always do the URL. Unless you're doing a website, unless you need it as HTML. For a website you're maintaining, you'll never use that, or a wiki, or a reading list. I don't use any of those. So just leave it on URL. And so there you have it. I love hyperlinks. I don't like it when my text turns purple. Bugs me to death. And you can't change that. PowerPoint is stubborn. You can change the colors a little bit, but there's hyperlinks and followed hyperlinks. And even if you change the color to make it all black and never turn purple, it's still going to put an underline there, and it's still, which I don't like, and it's still going to fade the text slightly once you follow the hyperlink. And that bugs me to death. So let me show you what I do. I come up here, and I'm going to right-click this, and I'm going to remove the hyperlink. First of all, I'm going to copy it, and then I'm going to remove it. Right-click, remove hyperlink. All right. Article. All right. Lewis knows about this. I showed this to Lewis a while back. Instead of a hyperlink on text, what I like to do is make an invisible box right here. You've got a lot of little doohickeys right up here, including boxes. Boxes are cool. And here's why. You can come up here and you can make a box. And put the box right there. That is what you want to attach the hyperlink to. The box. Not the text, the box. Okay? And so I've got my box there selected. I'm going to insert a hyperlink. Let me come back to here, Control-Alt-C, Control-V. Now I'm pasting my hyperlink. Same thing we did before. Same thing we did with the Word document. Okay? Control-Alt-C to copy the location. Control-V to paste it. And now, I've got a hyperlink on that box. Now the box is kind of obnoxious, so let's fix that. Let's, and this is also on your keyboard here, your shape fill, no fill. I don't like that color. I don't want any color. I mean, colors are whatever, but I want an invisible box. No fill. And shape outline, you can have whatever color outline you want, but I like no outline. So now it's an invisible box. And when I hit escape, you don't even know there's a box there until you start tabbing through your thing, and then you find, okay, there is a box there. So, anyway, there is a box there. The hyperlink is on the box. The hyperlink is not on the text. So that when I click on it, and you'll note, here's my mouse. I'm moving my mouse around the page. I got the cursor there. Do you see the cursor? And then when the cursor gets on here, the cursor turned into a hand. Look at that. There's a hyperlink there. Click on it. Does the same thing. But it didn't change my Tyndale article purple or put an underline under it or monkey with my text. Okay? Now, pray for me. You are now privy to some of my OCD, some of my quirks and things that bug me to tears. What's wrong with purple text and underlines? Nothing necessarily. I just don't like them. And since I don't like them, I don't use them. I don't work for PowerPoint. PowerPoint works for me. Yeah. I don't remember. Pastor Cliff can tell you. He can permanently disable that. And it's a BIOS. It's not a BIOS setting. It's a tweak to your registry. You got to make a registry entry to cancel those alerts. Yeah. If I can get Cliff to remind me tomorrow, I'll show you when we're Skyping. It didn't work? Okay. It should work. Yep, it should work. All right. Let's exit that. So remember, if you're making a PowerPoint slideshow and you're going to use this projector or some other high-def projector, it's a good idea to come up to your design and select your page setup and optimize your slides for the 16 by 9. That gives you your wider aspect ratio as opposed to the other ones, a 4 by 3. No, you don't want that. You want 16 by 9. Gives you a full 10 inches wide, 5.63 inches high. Gives you a lot to work with. Also, when you make this first text box, right, the one that is going to fill the thing, go ahead and format it. And you can do that by right-clicking it. And your option is here to format shape. I don't like it if it constantly changes size. Maybe you do. I don't. I don't want it to constantly change size. And that's kind of the default when you look at size. Okay. When you look at position, text box, here we go. Text box. Okay. Resize shape to fit text. That's the default, and I don't like it for most of what I do. I instead prefer to do not auto-fit, that option there, okay? See, if you're resizing shape to fit text, here's what it does. That's the size of it right there. And if I make other lines here because of something else, and then something else, you see what it's doing? It's just stretching the text box. It's making it larger. And eventually, it may get too large, and I'm off the thing. What's this? Okay? And I can do that. I can keep doing that. Problem is, as I keep doing that, is that it doesn't show up there. It's down below. I'm off the charts. Okay? So, this is why I think it's important to format your text box. And I've got a standard basic text box that I use. And so, again, I'm just going to right-click on that, format shape, come down here to the text box. I don't want to resize the shape to fit the text. I also don't want to shrink the text on overflow. Sometimes I do. Typically, I just select that option there, that radio button there, do not auto-fit. And then, if I do not auto-fit, then I can select the size. And I want it to be 10 inches, and I want the height to be 4.5. And the reason why I want the height to be 4.5, actually, let's make it 5. And if I leave it like that, size and position, make it 5 inches by 10 inches. All right. By doing that, what I've done then is I've left myself a little footer space here. And that's basically 1/2 inch. Okay? And by doing that, I make sure that I never build a slide that goes too low. So I'm making other points. I'm typing other stuff. And other stuff, but you'll notice it didn't move that bottom line. It kept it there, even if I keep doing stuff. Okay? It kept it there because I told that text box, don't you dare get bigger than 10 by 5. All right. Now, if you do happen to cheat, this is where the option to shrink text on overflow might be useful. If you shrink text on overflow, then it'll go ahead and tighten it up for you so that it fits in those lines. Okay? And sometimes I cheat and I do that, but I prefer not to. Format shape. Text box, do not auto-fit. There we go. And probably, I don't remember on my Isaiah slide or my Jeremiah slide. Yeah, see, I don't go below that line right there. All right. Any questions on that? The reasons why I don't want to go below there? I want to try to keep myself a footer. I want to try to keep myself... I don't want to put text here because people won't see that if I'm blocking the way. My head, laptop, pulpit, whatever. I try to keep the bottom strip clear. I can also stack some stuff there. Maybe instead of putting the link there, the Tyndale article there, I may insert a button. Again, I'll come up to here. I'm going to find a button I like. A little star or something. Let's put a star down here. Isn't that cute? And so the bottom margin, it's not important for people to see that anyway, but it might be something I would use. It might be something I would click on in the slideshow. Okay? And maybe I've got maybe there's a picture of one of these Kathrosses or something. Okay? So let's do that. Let me come back here. Let me reload my workspace. I haven't showed you everything that the topic guide produces. When we did the search on the homepage for stringed instrument, it opened up a topic guide. It also opened up a sermon starter guide to music. Okay? I usually don't use the sermon starter guide, but you may want to. This is the sermon starter guide for music. Gives you a theme, gives you some other things, gives you some key passages, some pericopes. Anyway, I prefer the topic guide on stringed instruments. And guitar, where to find it in the Bible. That might be useful. Look at that, guitars. Hey, that's a cool picture. I want that. Right-click that picture. Select image. Send to PowerPoint. And look what we've got. How's that for easy? It's a great way to jazz up your slide. I don't do a lot of it, but occasionally I do. And that's a very easy way to do that. So now, I've got a slide, and it may be that I've got other slides, and that picture there is at the very end of my slideshow. Maybe I want it at the end. Maybe I want to pull it up and look at it and then go back to where I was. Okay? And so that's the kind of thing that I would come here and I would do something with this star. Okay? I'm just thinking out loud with you tonight. This is in your insert. Action. What happens when I click that star? Well, I'm going to hyperlink to a particular slide. I want to hyperlink there to slide 4. I want to hyperlink to that slide. Okay? Click OK. I'm going to do something similar too on this. I'm going to insert an action there also. So when I click on that guy, I'm going to hyperlink to the last slide viewed. Last slide viewed. Click OK. Because there's going to be other things here, right? There's going to be other things here. I may have a slide here that talks about David, my favorite musician. Or I may have a slide here that talks about how demons can be quieted through music. Okay, I may have a lot of slides in between that slide and my picture. And so by inserting these actions, I help myself out. Okay, so now when I do my slideshow, here's this. And I see that little star there that reminds me, oh yeah, I got a picture here to show you. And I click on that guy, and it takes me there. Why does it take me there? Because I told it to take me there. The action I programmed was take me to slide 4. Okay? And then what happens when I click here? It's going to put me back on the last slide viewed. All right? Yes, sir. Genius question. Now it's slide 6. Okay? Now it's slide 6. And it updated it to slide 6. Okay? It's when you first made it, it said slide 4. But PowerPoint's going to keep track of that slide. It knows that's the slide you want to go to. So if it gets renumbered, it'll take care of that. And the same thing here. Last slide viewed puts you back on the last slide view. Yeah. Great question. Other things... do you guys use PowerPoint a lot? I guess, Lewis, you do. You put PowerPoints together. It's just simple to put text up there, and there you go. Okay? It's there. Go to the next slide. It's there. Go to the next slide. It's there. Okay? But maybe you don't want it all to show up at once. Okay? Maybe you want it to show up in stages. So let me get rid of those things. Leave it like that. Now, these are called animations. All right? And so far, there are no animations on that slide. But I want to do fly-in animations. And before you click anything, if you just hover the mouse over, it'll kind of show you what the animation looks like. Okay? And some of them are more spectacular than others. I usually just float in, or sometimes I fly in. Okay? So, let me do a fly-in. There we go. And you'll notice it put little numbers next to them. Number 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. So this is the first animation on the slide, and it's animation number 1, the only animation on the slide. And so that's the order it's going to do it in. It's going to do them all at once. Okay? Let's say I want to change some of that. So I'm going to select just this line. And the effect here, I don't want it to come from the bottom. I want it to come from the top. Okay? These ones here, yeah, the bottom's okay. All right? But you'll also notice they're still all together. So as I preview this pane, that's how it's doing it. It's doing it all together. One from the top, the rest from the bottom. But I don't want them all at once. Okay? I want this one to come first. So I don't want it to start on click. I want those other ones to start on click. But this one, I want to start with what came before, with previous. Okay? And in the case where there is no previous, it puts a zero on there. And it starts right off the bat when the slide loads. Now on these, I want these to start on a click. And look what just happened. This is now a zero. That's a one, a two, a three, and a four. Kind of small. You may not see it from where you're sitting. Okay? And then if I want, I can even make that appear. We'll do that one as a wheel. And we'll make it a 8-spoke wheel. I don't do a lot of these. All right. And we'll make that also on a click. Or we'll make it show up with the previous, after the previous. So it'll show up as number 4 after the other number 4 loads. Okay? And here's how it's going to look. Preview that. Like that. Okay? So now when I'm doing a slideshow, it's not all splashed up there. People aren't getting ahead of me. Okay? Because a lot of times, if you just put a ton of text up there, first thing people do is they stop listening to you. They start reading everything that's up there. Okay? So don't give it to them all at once. Say, you know what? We're going to start talking about musical instruments, string instruments in the Old Testament. And then I click my mouse. There's the first one. It's called an asaur. Okay? And I may talk about that for a while. I probably have some Bible verses next to that. Okay? Then click it again. Kathros. Talk about that for a while. Click it again. Kinnor. And so I'm controlling the pace at which the text appears. And there's value in that. Because you're keeping the attention on you, on what you're saying, on the message. The slideshow reinforces that. All right? And by the way, there's a great Tyndale article on these musical instruments. Okay? Now, there's a couple other tweaks I haven't quite done yet. And did you notice that that loaded first and then the star after that? Because that's what we told it to do. By the way, what I failed to do that invisible box, it's already there. Okay? And it's already there because I didn't give it an entrance. So be slightly careful with that. You may think that you're just clicking for the next word, but if you're not careful with where your mouse is, you're not clicking for the next word, you're clicking your invisible box link. Okay? So just be careful in how you do that. If I think about it, if I outsmart myself, then what I will do, I will come to here and I will make that box appear as well. And that box is going to appear. Here we go. Now it's number 5. I want it to move it earlier. And I want it to appear with the previous. So no, it'll show up when the sentence shows up. And now it's not there. So now when I do the slideshow, my box isn't there yet. My hyperlink isn't there yet. I can't click it on accident. Now it's there. Okay? I can click outside of that invisible box to go to the next slide. Correct. Yeah. You can use a lot fewer slides. Yeah. This doesn't have to be 5 slides. This can be 1 slide. Because you're adding elements one at a time. You're layering elements as you animate them, as they come in. Okay? Again, that takes me to slide 6. That takes me back. Okay? Helpful little things. And so, yeah, the animations. Now, you can spend hours building some spectacular animations, and no one's going to care, okay? Because you're going to use them once, and you're busy teaching the doctrine. You're teaching the point. You don't want to distract them with something gee whiz, okay? But occasionally, you might want to gee whiz something, okay? So, something else I want to do here. I want to let me give you some more keyboard shortcuts. Control M inserts a new slide, which is what I did here. But every time I insert a new slide, it's totally blank. I have to manually redo everything I've been doing. Sometimes it's easier, instead of inserting a new slide with Control M, sometimes it's easier to come to this one and insert a duplicate slide. Okay? And that speeds up a lot of things. So Control-Shift-D inserts a duplicate slide. Why do I want that? Well, I'm saving myself a lot of work. I already have a text box here that's 10 inches by 5 inches. It's already programmed to not shrink on overflow and to not resize with text. It's basically doing what I want it to do. All I got to do now is come along and decide, okay, I don't need that invisible box, delete that. I don't need that star, delete that. Did I really misspell Testament? Let's fix that. Let's go to New Testament. Musical instruments of the New Testament. All right. Go back to slide 2. All right. What musical instruments do we have in the New Testament? I don't know. I'm not familiar with any. Well, there's trumpets in Revelation, right? There's got to be more. Anyway, the duplicate slide is better than a blank slide. The duplicate slide, you're already ready to go. Control-Shift-D, duplicate slide. Okay? And then all you got to do is come in here and edit your text. But you're not reprogramming everything. See what I'm saying? All right. Let me get back to this. Your topic guide. From here, you can open your... you got your topic in your different dictionaries. Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, Tyndale Bible Dictionary, where to find it in the Bible. Where do you find it? Heaven's Guitars, Revelation 5:8. But it's only in the Amplified Bible. If you open up Revelation 5:8 in your New American Standard, holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense. Well, harp, that's not a guitar. What is that? It's a cithara. Lyre or harp. Why does the Amplified Bible call it a guitar? Like Johnny Cash is in the first century or something. All right? It's a harp. Related verses, sermons, illustrations. Here's some illustrations. Media resources. These can be useful. Okay? There's a lyre from the... There's a harp. There's a harp, a kinnor. Eight-stringed instrument. The Assyrian triangular lyre. A mandolin. You can get more. Find some of these. Got your media collections. Got your atlas. Biblical people, places, and things. Musical instruments. You know, here's strings and pipes. That might be useful. Pop that out too so we get a bigger... This is from 1,000 Bible images. And the neat thing is you're not hunting through your whole library trying to find these. Your research assistant did that for you. So you can open that up and again say, okay, cool. The relief picture is a man with a stringed instrument at the left, a flute player in the middle, and a man rhythmically clapping his hands. Well, that's kind of cool. And a scripture reference to Psalm 150, verse 4, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. So if I'm preaching that verse and I want a picture to go with it, that's kind of cool. And how do I do that? Just right-click that, send to PowerPoint. And now I've got a slide in PowerPoint ready to go. Okay? It's kind of easy these days. Yes, sir. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. And it just depends. If you hover over, it tells you the resource it comes from. If that resource tells you, they don't always. So, yeah, I don't copy the footnotes. Possibly. But they may not have recorded it themselves. Yep, that's the only thing that's in that article. The 1,000 Bible images doesn't give you a lot of detail. Others might. Other resources might. So if this one is from... Let's see. Biblical things. It just depends on the resource. IT. Images from the Temple Dictionary of the Bible. Here we go. Images from the Temple Dictionary of the Bible. I didn't even know I had that in my library. Yeah, there's no credits there either. That would be better. It'd be better if they told you where it was from. You know, this is from a pyramid in Egypt or whatever. This is from a temple in Heliopolis or whatever. I mean, I'm curious. Otherwise, you just say, oh, that, they got that somewhere. All right. So we've learned about hyperlinks, copying location, Control-Alt-C to create a URL hyperlink, Control-V to paste it. You can insert hyperlinks into your Word documents. You can insert hyperlinks into your PowerPoint slideshows. Is that useful? Okay. Good. Something besides animations. Let me pull up a different slideshow. There could be something besides an animation. Let me grab one that I use. Let's grab... Proverbs. Here's a case where you're going to notice... there's a lot of text on that slide, but I don't put it up all at once. Okay? If I come up here to the animation tab, you'll notice there's a 0, a 1, a 2, and a 3 that come up in an order. If I play the slideshow, then that comes up as a 0. It just loads when the slide loads. And then a click or down arrow, click, down arrow, click, down arrow. They come up like that. Okay? Now, besides animations, you can actually do transitions. And a transition is like an animation, but it applies to the entire slide. I don't do a ton of this, but sometimes it's useful. And particularly where it might be useful would be if... Yeah, I don't see one on this slideshow where it would be useful. But sometimes, let's see. Let's try this one. I might have an animation here. Well, let's say I wanted to unfold this and then go back to a larger level. What an animation does, an animation applies to text on a slide or to objects on a slide. A transition applies to the whole slide. That's the difference. Okay? So on this slide, there's no animation on that. That's just always there. But there's an animation there, and there's an animation there. And so as we do that slide, you'll notice the animation. The heading is not animated at all. It's just there. Now, as a transition, I want to add a transition. And this is where you can do a bunch of stuff. I like uncover. Okay? And so now when I do my slideshow, here's slide one. And then when I go to slide two, the transition is applied, and then the animations. Okay? And since that's the only slide I put a transition on, when I go to slide three, I won't have another one. Okay, so I need to come back and add a transition to this one as well. Let's do a cover. I did an uncover, so let's do a cover. Those can also be useful if you're trying to emphasize something. Usually, I'm trying to emphasize a subpoint, something that's very particular, and then I want to get back to the main point. All right, so... For example, I'm going to make a different slide here. And I don't want to save this because I'm ruining my slideshow if I do. And so let's get rid of those, and let's get rid of this. And this is a big deal I want to talk about. Okay? Something about that. Christ was born under the law, he set me free. And then I want to come back to that before I add a second point. Okay? So, I'm going to show you this here. Here we go. So here's a point two, and I forget what my point two is, doesn't matter. My point two is stand firm. Okay. Stand firm. All right. So here's a slide that has point one. Two slides later, I've got a slide that has point one and a point two. And in between, man, I got something really important I want to say. There's a big deal I want to talk about. So on this big deal, maybe I want to add a picture. Maybe I want to just put something in there. Okay? Image, copy. That's the big deal I want to talk about. And so I may use transitions to highlight the big deal. It's 8:30. I got to stop with this. So let's do the uncover, and let's do the cover, and then I'll take the transitions off of here, and the transitions off of here. Here we go. So the only ones that have transitions are these ones I'm particularly spotlighting. And sometimes uncover, cover aren't the best. Sometimes switch works better. Okay. And switch. That might be better. Okay. Also, when I'm coming back to this main point, I want to get rid of these animations as well. I want to remove that one and just start with this one. Make this stand firm, my zero animation. Okay? Because I already taught that point. I taught that point two slides ago. So now, here's my slideshow. Here's my first slide. Freedom must be defended. There's my point, my main point one. And before I move on to main point two, I got something really big I want to talk about. And so here's where I throw a little bit of gee whiz in there, just so that it grabs people's attention. This is just kind of a parenthesis. This is just kind of a side trip, a rabbit trail. And the transition helped me to establish that. Now, when I go back, you see what just happened there? I went ahead and I made that a zero item, a non-animated item, just like that, so that I can start with this point. I already taught the first point. I taught that point two slides ago. But now I'm returning to my flow of thought. I'm returning to my argument. I want to pick it up there. Anyway, that's the difference between an animation. That's an animation. That's an animation. That's an animation. Okay? Animations apply to items on the slide. But a transition applies to the slide itself. How do you transition to display that slide? Most of my slides don't have transitions. Only if I've got something special, and then the very slide after that to bring me back to normal. Okay? Those are the only times I ever use slide transitions. Other people, though, we saw at Schaefer, other people use slide transitions all the time. And there's some pretty spectacular ones. All right, any questions on that? Thoughts, ideas? Useful? Glad you came tonight? Waste of time? You'd rather be watching the Spurs? They don't play tonight. They played last night. Great game last night. Yes, sir? Oh. On the order? Yeah, that's useful. Tell you what. Well, I'll show you right now. A couple of things. You can reorder the animation there on the right. Let me pull up a slide that's got multiple ones here. Here we go. So, yeah, you've got two there. You've got a zero and a one. But if you want to reorder them, reorder animation on the top right corner. You can reorder them. You can move it earlier, move it later. That's useful. You can even open up an animation pane, and you can really program some details here. You can animate text multiple times. You can have it make an entrance, have it make a departure, have it make a different entrance. I typically don't do a lot of that, but you can. Anyway, just play with that, and I think you'll get to know those settings. Also, when we're Skyping tomorrow, I can show you some of those things too. Okay, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for keeping my voice able to speak. Pray for your grace and your faithfulness. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.